relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
My God, tax the rich. What a model, AOC. What up? I didn't know you model as well. Damn.
The footage that is getting Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in lots of trouble, even with people on the left, her at the Met Gala wearing a custom gown with a certain political message. Welcome, dear friends, to America First. This is me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, currently member, yes, Joe, I'm still a member of the National Security Education Board. Have fun with that. We have an amazing show lined up for you today. But let me share with you first some personal experiences over the last 24 hours that kind of tie into the Met and AOC's dress with the Tax the Rich slogan written in red on the back of her gown. First things first... How much are those tickets? Jeff, what did you say in the prep show? How much is a ticket to the Met Gala? What are they saying?
Some places they're saying 30,000.
So 30, because you know you buy tables,
yes.
And the tables are like 250,000 or whatever.
And sure it all depends where your table is too.
Right. So there's at least eight people at the table. So we're talking about a very nice car to go and eat rubber chicken.
Pretty much. I wouldn't go for free.
I know you wouldn't go for free. I've never been to the Met Gala ever. So here we have somebody who was a bartender who was elected not as a Democrat. Can you just be very specific about this? If somebody says she's a Democrat, no. It's the socialists, okay? It's the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA. That is her affiliation. That is how she was elected. She's not a Democrat. This isn't Scoop Jackson's party. She is a socialist. She is the inventor of the Green New Deal. That is the most ambitious plan to take away your freedoms we have seen in the United States since slavery. Yes, I mean it. In terms of the control given to government since emancipation, we've never seen the like of it. No air travel. Gasoline engines, gone. Beef, bad as well. Don't get to eat beef. It's in the plan, which had that strange document from her website that disappeared, the FAQs, the frequently asked questions about what's really going to happen when they implement it. Why was that deleted from your website, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? And she goes to the Metropolitan Gala, where tickets are at least $30,000 per head. in a custom gown and grins that grin of hers as she does a twirl and shows the world her Eat the Rich slogan. Eat the Rich. Custom gown, $30,000 ticket, the Metropolitan Gala. What? Tax the rich. Yeah, Eat the Rich is the next phase. That's Green New Deal 2.0. Custom-made gown. How much do we think that gown is? I mean, just, you know, it's not from the thrift store. The Metropolitan Gala. And $30,000 per head. So who's she talking about? She's not talking about a truck driver. She's talking about herself. Just in case you're wondering about the figures, we now have the breaking story that those who are calling for the defund the police, the squad especially, has spent more on personal protection than anybody else in Congress. How's that for tax the rich? Maybe take away your security detail as well. Now, I wasn't at the Met last night. I was at a conservative confabulation. And I won't mention it because I don't want to get my host in trouble. But I did something at this event because I owe you, our dear listeners, an apology. So we're going to talk about another event. Jeff has been with us the longest. He is our producer, Mr. G. Are you there? No, he's not. I need to ask Mr. G a question. Let's start with Eric. Eric is the second longest serving member of the America First team. It's not a trick question. No pressure. Just be honest in front of all of our listeners. How many times have we made mistakes here on America First, Eric?
Mistakes?
Yeah, mistakes.
I could probably count on maybe one hand, maybe a little over. Yeah, one hand with six fingers on it, perhaps.
Six mistakes?
Courtesy of at least some of us, not just you.
Oh, I see.
Are you talking you or the entire show?
Very kind of you. Very kind of you. What about me, the host? How many mistakes have I made in 3 years? Almost 3 years.
Is it possible to say less than zero?
That's why Eric always has my back. I have made at least, and you are welcome to call in and remind me of others. I have made one mistake, which I have publicly accepted on this show. I have made at least two or three mea culpas, and that has to do with a certain member of the administration I served with, a cabinet member. I was just a lowly strategist, deputy to the president. And that individual was our attorney general, Bill Barr. And I have a story to tell you about Bill Barr from last night. On this show, on social media and elsewhere, I made statements about Bill Barr being a good guy, getting to the bottom of things, rooting out corruption in the Department of Justice. I'm not making an excuse here because those words were mine. But I made those statements based upon things that had been told to me by very good friends who'd worked for Bill Barr when he had been the Attorney General previously in the Bush administration. So I was going on sources I deemed to be very reliable. And I repeated that affirmation. But I was wrong. I was as wrong as wrong could be. This man is scum. He is swamp. Just look into how rich he is and where he got his money from. But you don't need to know that stuff, the inside baseball. You need to know what he did or didn't do for the Trump administration, how he had one job, to clean out the Stygian Orgian stables that were the Department of Justice. Just clean it out of corruption. Of the likes of Strzok, McCabe at the FBI, Comey, people who weaponized law enforcement. And he didn't. Nothing. Zip. One junior lawyer gets a slap on the wrist for forging a CIA document. If I had forged a CIA document, I'd be in jail now. And I'd be there for a long time. But I saw Bill Barr yesterday at this event.
And after he left and he was waiting for his car to be brought up, I told him what I thought of him. I wasn't rude. I just said, "You are an utter disappointment." And then he laughed at me. What does that mean? That he laughed. It means he is a swamp creature. It means he is so confident in his untouchability, in his Teflon coating, that he thinks it's all so amusing. Bill Barr, we know who you are. And I just hope that the 30 pieces of silver were worth it. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C. Stick with us wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Just make sure you don't touch that dial. Next, former attorney to President Trump, constitutional law professor, fighting for election integrity, Jenna Ellis, here in studio. Relief Factor. Pain relief that's real. Pain relief that works. Pain relief that relieved me of my lower back pain that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. But it's not just me. It's tens of thousands of Americans across the country, like Deborah from Massachusetts. This is her story. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. That story should be your story. And there's only one way to find out. Order your 3-week quick starter pack right now at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debran, and thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. Liberate yourself. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. If you've tried everything else and failed, you've got to try Relief Factor. 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Today he's in front of the senators, Antony Blinken, trying to justify the disastrous withdrawals, the surrender of Kabul to the Taliban. Yesterday he was on Capitol Hill in front of the congressmen and women, making very, very peculiar statements, trying to justify that shambolic withdrawal. Here's one of them. Cut six, Antony Blinken.
Since 2004, roughly, something like $80 billion in defense articles was provided to Afghanistan. So that goes back over the last roughly
years. I'm only asking about the GPS tracking. We know the location of this equipment that we have now seen fall into the hands of terrorists. Are we going to destroy it or not?
So much of this equipment is either inoperable or will soon be inoperable because it can't be maintained. Based on what I've heard from my colleagues, there is nothing of strategic value that is that would threaten us or threaten Afghanistan's neighbors.
Nothing of strategic value. The Taliban now have more Black Hawk helicopters than any nation in NATO except the United States. Maybe he shouldn't ask his colleagues whether it's inoperable. Maybe he should switch on a television and see the parades of Humvees and the Black Hawks flying today above Afghanistan. Let's bring things back to reality with one of your favorites, our regular guest, author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America, and A Matter of Principle, Lord Conrad Black. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. You might have mentioned that while he spoke to the House of Representatives Foreign Relations Committee, he did so from his State Department office. He didn't take the one-mile journey to grace them with his physical presence. He sat at his desk, almost rendered visible by the official flags behind them. They just moved them forward 6 inches. They would have covered his shoulders, and he would have been peeking out at the congressman from between the flags of the United States and the State Department.
Yeah, we have to discuss your latest pieces in American Greatness in the Epoch Times. But let's stop here, because I myself, when I watched it, you're so right. The staging of it, and one of the members actually said, you couldn't be bothered to come down here as the Secretary of State from the State Department. And this visage of him surrounded by those massive flags, very outre, very peculiar. Let me ask you, as a presidential historian, as a keen observer of American politics, do events like yesterday or today, do they mean anything anymore? Is it just spectacle for the purpose of clickbait and little clips of videos? What is the weight of such hearings, even after such a disastrous Kabul?
Well, I think it's not what it was in the Vietnam era. You know, when there was a tremendous attention paid to appearances of officials before Senator Fulbright's committee, in particular the Senate Yes. Foreign Relations Committee. But some of the what you referred to as clickbait and so on, some of these little vignettes will be extremely damaging to the administration. I mean, some of the points where the secretary is normally a relatively articulate man, unlike the president whom he serves, just stumbled and bumbled, and he couldn't get out a coherent word. That will be damaging when it's run in Republican advertisements on television, you know. And a couple of his answers, as a number of his statements in the past 6 months, clips of them will be shown, and it will be seen how completely inaccurate they were as predictions, and unfortunately, in some cases, even as statements of fact when they were not, in fact, factual. So I think the actual appearance doesn't do much, but selectively chosen pieces from the appearance on film and used in newscasts by people who don't swoon over the administration and in partisan advertising by the opponents of the administration will be very damaging. Nothing that he said is the slightest use to reelecting any Democrats.
Well, you juxtaposed him with his boss, the mumbling bumbler. Here he was yesterday in Idaho. And another thing that will, I guess, be used in the GOP ads. This is the man who bears the title of president. Cut three, play cuts.
I'm sorry to go on so long. Thank you. And I'll turn it back to you, man. I guess that's who I'm turning it back to. I don't know who. Anyway, whoever is to do the talk.
I guess I have to turn it over. I don't know who to. Hardly very presidential. Lord Black, are you surprised that not one person, not one individual at any level has been fired or offered their resignation in the last month since Afghanistan?
Not exactly, because once the step was taken and was seen what a terribly difficult and needlessly dangerous situation the American interest in, and allied interest in Afghanistan had been plunged into, and no one quit, I think it was clear that this was the president's decision, and he was in no position to fire people as scapegoats, because they would have released texts of memos or comments that they'd made advising against what happened. And so I, you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Milley, and the Secretary of Defense, Austin, and others, Sullivan of the National Security Council and so forth, have all loyally stepped in behind the president, saying that what was done was a sensible thing to do, and it could have been improved upon, but the mistakes were not terribly serious and so on. Because I think if some of them had actually advised the president to do what he did, they would have been fired.
Yeah.
And there would have been a good reason to fire them, and then the president could have said, well, this man told me such and so, and it wasn't right, so I've got to make change. And I thank him for his service to the country. But since nobody's getting fired, everything else is upside down in this administration. Maybe I'm judging it by rules that don't apply, but since no one else has been fired, I assume it was the commander-in-chief's decision, and he's got to carry the can for it.
Yeah, As he said, the buck stops with him, which sounds like it was his decision. Who else can he blame it on? Let's pull out a little bit. Let's go to 50,000 feet. You've written a piece for the Epoch Times on how the United States can move beyond the shambles in Afghanistan with an alliance of democracies. How can we make a silk purse out of a sow's ear? What would be the ideal scenario given the changed geopolitical environment after the surrender of Kabul?
Well, I think what you do is you have the decent interval for the absolute horror of the debacle that is still occurring to settle down, and then you set about reestablishing the credibility of the United States. And obviously, as a country, there's nothing wrong with its credibility. It's just a powerful, just as powerful a country today as it was 3 months ago, and it is the most powerful country in the world. So it's a straight question of credibility of the administration. Now, unfortunately, you don't have any personnel in that administration that have any credibility in the world. That's why if Blinken had done the decent thing and resigned, and a more substantial person had been put in to replace him, and with a few other changes at the same time, it would be easier to do this. But the normal thing to do is take your lumps, let a little time, but not much, go by, and then prepare it in advance with key allies, and then take the initiative in proposing, in this case, reforms to the alliance to make it more effective, extend it beyond the North Atlantic, which is not now the key crisis area in the world, and include the Middle East and the Far East, and just admit all democratic countries who seek admission, maintain it as a defensive alliance. We're not threatening anyone else, but an attack on one is an attack upon all. I don't think anyone in Europe would be anything other than pleased if Japan and India, for example, and Australia joined such an alliance. And why would they not? Those countries, I think, would be pleased to have Germany and France and Great Britain in alliance with them.
Could Kamala Harris build something like that, Lord Black? Could Kamala Harris even countenance building something like that?
She's already said in the revealing moment with Lester Holt in frightful relevance to the question that he posed about the southern border, that she'd never been in Europe.
Yeah.
So if she's never set foot in Europe, I doubt if this kind of thing is at the top of her mind.
No, indeed. The autobiography, a fabulous read, is A Matter of Principle. And additionally, his book, more relevant than ever in my expectation, I think an announcement is imminent from my former boss, is A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. You can follow our guest at Lord at Conrad M. Black on Twitter. And he's also the co-host with none other than Victor Davis Hanson and Bill Bennett of the Scholars and Sense podcast. We will continue our discussion here on America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios as the hearings continue on Capitol Hill, live streaming also on Rumble. If you haven't done so already, if you miss any segment of the show, it's free. Go today, rumble.com/Seb Gorka. All our segments, as well as the live stream, especially if you miss the third hour, you're not somewhere where it is broadcast. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. Gun Owners of America is the only no-compromise gun lobby. From battling the Biden administration's radical anti-gun agenda to restoring your constitutionally protected rights in the states, GOA's grassroots army, led by a friend of this show, Eric Pratt, is ready. GOA has a proud 45-year history of defending your Second Amendment rights without compromise. GOA's mission is simple: to protect, defend, and restore the Second Amendment. For just $25 a year, you can take an active role in the protection of your rights. When you join today by visiting gunowners.org/GORKA, you will receive a free gift. So help protect the Second Amendment by joining Gun Owners of America right now at gunowners.org/GORKA.
From the ReliefFactor.com studios, This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Breaking news from my friend. Yes, Jennifer Horn, our West Coast warrior princess, host of The Morning Answer in Los Angeles. This is the text she sent me. I just voted. This is the first time in my entire life that I have ever had to stand in line. Ooh, that's interesting. Republicans tend to vote on election day, not in advance. So it looks like there is a big turnout. The one thing I responded to her, well, that's impressive. At least you weren't told that you'd already voted. As many Republicans have already been told. We are back with Lord Conrad Black. His latest piece is in the Epoch Times. The U.S. can move beyond Afghanistan shambles with an alliance of democracies. And then for American greatness, threading the Biden opportunity needle. We're posting both of those right now. But we haven't talked, Lord Black, since the commemorations of last weekend. This is what President Trump had to say about the current incumbent. Play cuts.
He went to all three places. He went to the Pentagon, went to Pennsylvania. He came here and he didn't speak.
Isn't it strange that you had the Democrat president and former presidents at a formal ceremony in New York? Biden went elsewhere as well. Not one speech was given by the incumbent on the 20th anniversary, whilst President Trump goes and meets the firefighters in the office of the NYPD. Your reaction to that strange?
No, it's very strange. And for the president to be asked not to attend at the World Trade Center by the families, some of the families of the deceased, it's a shocking turn of events. I mean, I never heard of such a thing.
And then for Biden not to make a speech on the 20th anniversary at any of the sites.
Yeah, and then they said that he wasn't welcome unless he released the classified papers about relations with Saudi Arabia. And on the day he released them, if he's going to release them, why didn't he release them earlier? You know, even 2 days earlier, and then say, it's been my great pleasure to release these papers. Honored to be here to show on behalf of the country that we share the sorrow and the pride of those who had loved ones who died here. But they just can't get anything right. And that's not the Democratic Party I've seen over the years, you know. I mean, they always run a slick operation, but as they did in, frankly, stealing the election. But this White House is just stumbling from pillar to post.
So this is, we always preface our analyses with, you know, we're not psychiatrists, we can't do telepathy. But in this case, given the magnitude of the event, the 20th anniversary of the greatest terror attack of the modern age, what is your supposition as the likeliest scenario? Is it that his team didn't trust him to give a speech without gaffes? Is it an indication of, you mentioned the massive slump in his favorability ratings after the Kabul surrender. So what is the most likely scenario in your estimation, given the last 8 months?
Fear that his remarks would not be well received.
Yeah.
It would be terribly embarrassing for a president to be speaking on a nonpartisan occasion of immense national significance, like the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, the anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy, something just a great national crisis of extreme drama and provocation. And if whoever the president is frankly, you know, booed by some of the people present, it would be terribly embarrassing. So I guess they reckoned that it was less embarrassing to go and be present and show respect but not speak than to run the risk of having a negative response if he did speak.
I have to say that's probably the most likely scenario, because that the effect on his future politically, if that had occurred, if one of the family members or survivors had heckled or booed him, that would have been tantamount to, you know, an impeachment, in my opinion.
He had to go. He couldn't just sit there in Delaware and not go.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. Let's talk about your latest piece, American Greatness, amgreatness.com, threading the Biden
opportunity needle, subheading the catastrophic and banal Bidenization of America is giving the Republicans a winning hand, but they must play it carefully. How do they play the hand? What is the needle that has to be threaded? Is it a full-throated return to the America First, or what is your advice to conservative politics?
Well, look, I think subtly it is a return to Trump policy, but with a Trump who is a somewhat more emollient personality, or a candidate endorsed by him who is a somewhat more emollient personality. But you subtly come back to Trump policy, and either with a Trump supporter, Trump approved person, or with Trump himself, but with the seasoning of having been there for a term, and that there's still a little bit of a lingering feeling that he was a little too bombastic and outrageous at times, so he would have eased that up a bit. But on the flip side of it, what I was cautioning was that I think if the Republicans go all the way on abortion, and they're between abolitionists and the Texas rule six-week cutoff, they've got to be careful with that. That, I think, could be a vote loser. I mean, I understand it's a conscientious issue. I just think they should handle it tactically and be careful.
So softly, softly.
And you know, and not bring abortion up as an issue above where it should be. And secondly, they've got to be careful, in my opinion, about saying, as they rightly do, that they demand a proper border in the South, but they don't want any Afghan immigrants. I don't think that's the right thing to do. They've got to confine that into, we don't want bad people from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. But if they say that they don't want even from Afghanistan after the country's been there for 20 years and has left in such a disgraceful manner, that they don't want a soul from Afghanistan, when, as opposed to stopping 200,000 people coming illegally into the country in the South every month, that's not going to work. And I think even on this vaccination thing, the administration is stewing in its own juice. The message has been terribly confused. But if I were the Republicans, I would be a little careful about saying no vaccination mandates are acceptable. I think they're fine on the masks. I think the masks are nonsense. But I would, for example, not think it was a bad thing if there was a mandate that everyone over 60 had to be vaccinated. I mean, we want to save these people's lives, you know? And there is, I think, a good statistical argument that that would be a good thing. I personally agree that you shouldn't be telling everybody that they have to be vaccinated. But I don't think the Republicans should build it up as a violation of basic human rights and of the Constitution on a scale with infringements of freedom of expression and that kind of thing.
Well, it is a denial of science to say that everybody has to be vaccinated, even the healthy. But there is an argument that you protect the vulnerable. That's what the people who believe in science have been saying from the beginning. He's the co-host, along with Victor Davis Hanson and Bill Bennett, of the podcast Scholars and Sense. You can follow him on Twitter, but get his books, especially Donald J. Trump, A President Like No Other. This is America First, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
It's up. She sent it to me, our West Coast warrior princess, Jennifer Horn,
the whole 2 hours of our amazing town hall last weekend in California with the Salem team. You can watch it all on YouTube. We had 1,400 people in one room in California. And at the end, because I just had to, I wanted to say thank you to our hosts. I showed off our latest swag, the America First gear. I gave T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, and hats to Jennifer and to Grant Stinchfield. If you want to get yours, go to SebGorkaStore.com. Especially the one that everybody is buying right now. All hours of the day. I spoke to our store manager today. It's the If You're Woke, You're a Loser t-shirt with the president's face that we made for when he came on the show. So to honor President Trump with that quote from his rally, if you're woke, you're a loser. Get yours today, SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorkaStore.com. And one of the people on the podium, we had myself. We had the great one, Mark Levin. We had Dennis Prager. And we had the guy who was, he was, of all of us, the most on fire. And he's joining us right now. I knew I liked him for a reason. It says on his Twitter feed, he was born in October, so he's a Libra like me, like all the best people. The founder and president of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk. Welcome back to America First.
Great to be here, Dr. Gorka. Thank you for having me.
And you are a very balanced individual, like all Librans, yes? Very cool, calm, collected.
I don't know about that. I think that I probably am more intense, disruptive, and willing to fight. But sure, I'll take that. I mean, look, who knows?
There might be Scorpio rising in your sign. All right, stop talking about astrology, right. You crazy man. Let's listen to just how much he was on fire. This is a little snippet of Charlie from this weekend. Cut 12.
The day that Joe Biden issued the OSHA order or the CDC order, the governor of North Dakota and South Dakota, Oklahoma and Texas, Louisiana, he's a Democrat, should have said, okay, you're all of a sudden going to act as if we're in a post-constitutional state. We're building the Keystone XL pipeline. We're sending the workers back tomorrow. Go send the troops and try to go. Let's look at the optics of federal agents coming in and arresting a bunch of middle-class hard hat wearing guys going to work on a pipeline. Come on, go try and arrest them. We need to provoke them to actually, they will blink, everybody. They will blink.
That grabbed me. That 30 seconds from our 2 hours truly grabbed me. The idea that we go on the offensive, because if we did that, if those governors did that, Charlie, they would blink, wouldn't they? The feds would blink.
Yes, the question is, would the governors blink? That's the real question.
Would they do it first? Right.
Yeah, and so if the governors had a backbone, you know, similar to kind of Ron DeSantis, who's one of the few that has really fought, then this is how they would be thinking, which is, who's to say that a federal judge can come in and all of a sudden suspend a pipeline? And who's to say that a federal judge, not even a federal judge, I'm sorry, a president would come in and just with a stroke of a pen? He didn't run on that. That's not his mandate. You know, Biden came in running under office saying that he slipped to the tongue and said that he wanted to abolish and phase out fossil fuels completely. But at other times, he made promises that he wasn't going to do anything. This is the sort of mindset that I think Republicans and conservatives need to start to embrace, that, you know, we're here to save the country through any bold or dramatic means necessary. And I'm not calling for anything violent, obviously, or anything that is outside of societal norms. I'm talking about building a pipeline, Dr. Gorka.
Yeah.
They're the ones that want to go burn down buildings. I'm saying, hey, let's go build stuff. And one of the things we can go build is a pipeline that ensures national security. It's also a poke in the eye to Warren Buffett. And here's how this would work. If the governors sent back these workers to go construct this pipeline, it would take federal agents with police power to go into the states and go arrest these middle-class workers or whoever's in charge. I don't even know how that would work. You're trying to tell me that people that work for law enforcement federally are all of a sudden go arrest 15,000 people that are working with welders, you know, and trying to put together a very complicated project? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think that the federal government would realize that they don't have as much power as they think they do. And this is this is what the left did to us, too. This is what we have to understand, is that people say that's unprecedented. I say, no, it's not. Portland, Seattle, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, and L.A., they refused to enforce federal immigration law under the Trump administration. You were there. You remember they said, yeah, we're not going to issue deportation notices.
Yeah.
We are going to get in the way of ICE. We're going to govern ourselves. Like, okay, if that's the new set of affairs, then that's what we have to do.
He is the host of the Charlie Kirk Show. Get subscribed to that podcast right now. And even more important than that, support his amazing organization, Turning Point USA. That's tpusa.com. But Charlie, you know, this is the challenge. Somebody said to me, we've got to get the Kevin McCarthy's of the world to fight like we do. We can't, Charlie. They won't. So the only realistic scenario is we have to replace these governors, these members of the conservative elite, with people who want to fight. Isn't that the first challenge?
That is. And that's why my focus is on the states. I'm not really sure what the solution is for the federal government as far as replacing the legislative branch with people that are more kind of in the MAGA mold. But right. I do know that the states are becoming dramatically more conservative. I love what Texas has done recently. I love what they've done with the pro-life law. I love what they've done with the voter integrity law. I love what they've done with the Second Amendment. And we're starting to see the states start to reassert their power that the founding fathers always thought they would have, which is that the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. And that kind of balance of federalism really fell apart, you know, right near the Woodrow Wilson era when he passed the 17th Amendment, amongst many other issues that were put forward. So I really
explain the 17th Amendment and why that denuded the states of their power.
Yeah, so the 17th Amendment was part of a series of progressive reforms passed by the college professor who accidentally became president, Woodrow Wilson, largely because of Teddy Roosevelt challenging yes. William Howard Taft, I think in the election of 1912. Woodrow Wilson didn't even win 50%+ of the right. vote. Wilson was a German historicist, head of Princeton University. He was the first president to declare war on the American founding, basically.
Well, and a fan of the KKK.
Big time. Yeah, he was a eugenicist, and also the first movie ever screened in the history of the White House was Birth of a Nation. That tells you everything you need to know right. about Woodrow Wilson. And so, yes, Woodrow Wilson passed the 17th Amendment, which basically intervened into states' businesses, saying that doesn't matter what the Constitution says, the state legislature will no longer appoint U.S. senators.
Right.
It's going to be done by popular vote in every single state.
And this is crucial. This is, you know, the state Senate lost the power to represent their states in the Senate here in D.C., and it changed politics forever in America. We're talking to Charlie Kirk. He's staying with us for one more segment. Follow him right now, Charlie Kirk 11 on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Do you have a percentage in mind of Americans that need to be vaccinated before we reach a point to really suppress this virus and actually be on the winning side of things? Is it 80%? Is it 85%? Is it 90% of Americans?
Joe, we don't know. And, you know, anytime you give a number, someone will poke holes in it. The one thing that I say, and I think it's as close to the truth as you can get, is you will know it when you see it.
37 years in that position, the highest paid federal bureaucrat in America, and he doesn't know. We are back with the host of the Charlie Kirk Show, founder, president of the Turning Point USA organization, one of the most important organizations in America. Charlie, I thought they're the guys who are on the side of science, but he says, I can't quote you numbers, so why should we agree to a vaccine mandate at all?
Well, we shouldn't. And, I mean, we need to have a real conversation of whether or not the vaccine is actually contributing to the spread of the virus. And just look at the data. The more vaccinated we become, the more all of a sudden people have become infected. Is the vaccine slowing the spread or is it accelerating the spread? That's a legitimate question.
Let's stop it because people are going to go crazy. Media Matters, pay attention. Little, what's his name? Zaki Poo, get typing. If you talk to real virologists, not politicians, they tell you every virus has a life cycle. It's like a bell curve and they need to burn out. And what you're saying could in fact be the scenario that these experimental vaccines are delaying the virus's capacity to burn out in the population. That's what you're talking about, correct?
That's right. Yeah, just as an objective analysis, which country is doing better, Sweden or Israel? And which one embarked on a mass inoculation strategy? Israel did as much a vaccine, I think 70-80% of their population. They did booster shots, they did lockdowns, masks, everything. And their case per population is much higher than that of Sweden.
Well, and so Sweden's back open for business.
That's right, yeah. And Sweden, of course, had the most mature response to the virus back in last year. They did a little bit of lockdowns last summer and a little bit last winter. I wish they wouldn't have. Lockdowns are an awful idea, and they actually don't help at all epidemiologically. But way, way more mature of a response than Israel, much more prudent. And so, yeah, that's the real question is, are the vaccines helping or hurting? No one wants to say it. No one wants to talk about it. And the CDC has now changed the definition of what a vaccine is.
Yes.
It no longer says that it will inoculate you against the potential transmission of the, you getting the virus. It will now help you fight the virus. That's called a treatment.
And we've
been trying to talk about treatments for the entire time since this biological
attack. And that happened just a few days ago when nobody was watching. The science deniers are rewriting the definitions of words when they become uncomfortable for them. Charlie Kirk, God bless you for what you're doing. Let's post the whole video of our town hall right now. Go to my Twitter feed. Go to our Facebook pages. You can watch the whole thing. Follow this man and support. Please support Turning Point USA, tpusa.com, and check out Charlie's book, The MAGA Doctrine. Next, Chris Baskirk from American Greatness. If you're somewhere where you don't get the third hour, go to our podcast, our brand new platform, America First One-on-One. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.